Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to The Age of Accountability. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war. Good evening, patriots. And tonight is Friday, March 29th in the year 2024. We've got a lot going on in the world that ultimately ends up forcing us to start taking a greater measure of accountability for everything that we do. It's going to be kind of the whole focus tonight. We're going to be looking at a lot of topical issues and then kind of looking at it back to ourselves and where that direction of change really is. We want change. We all want to believe in change. Unfortunately, as we do, we are also in that place of having to ask ourselves, what really is change? The political environment is a disaster, and no matter where we turn, there's corruption and there's moral bankruptcy in our nation. And unfortunately, that's become the standard by which everything is run and gauged. And so the real question is, what affects real change? Because the change in a vote is only a topical issue, and it changes with the wind, literally, in the political environment. And we have to get down to substance of change in our nation. And part of that, and substantial part of that, is truth. But the hard truths that are often hard to look at. Now, patriots, one thing we know about this in this whole process over the last 4 years has been the COVID con. And there's been a lot of talk about these vaccines and the whole issue of COVID, and we still have yet to get to the truth. What we do know is the farther we go, the darker it gets. Now, COVID con is really defined in terms of lies, coercion, force, and even fear. And those are all the tools used to compel people to take the vax. And the problem is many stood against the shots, but were still subject to these things they call spike proteins or shedding from the spike proteins. So there is and we have a sponsor now, Warrior Essentials, who's offering a patent-pending product that works to help the body heal and purify and get rid of these spike proteins, which is fantastic. And it comes in a three-step process. It's called jabbed. It's called moving around the three areas, which is remove, repair, and restore. So it's remove the toxins, repair the circulatory health, and restore the epigenome. And that's whether you have been jabbed or whether you've been around those that have been jabbed. So this is a promising product. It is necessary to mention it is not FDA approved, and the product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any form of disease. However, I'll also caveat, like I do every time I mention this, is that the FDA was the ones who brought you the shot, promising you that it was safe and secure. Anyway, this is a great product. It's a product that is available to you, and it comes at a great discount with an initial promo code for Bards Nation. And it is if you go to recoverwithbards.com, you'll save up to 50% off of the regular price plus free shipping. So this helps get rid of your body's spike proteins and helps boost your health. Again, it's recoverwithbards.com. Recoverwithbards.com. You'll get 50% off the regular prices plus free shipping. If you head over to their website, it's in a massive amount of information to read through, very well documented, worth reading through. I think it's a great product. I think it's worth taking, and I think it's one that will provide some substantial relief, or at least provide some substantial benefit in an area that we're still learning and trying to figure out what is going on. But these are the things that will help our bodies restore and recover in a proper way. That just kind of leads me tonight to the first piece, which is I find real interesting. And it's looking at our bodies as we have moved through. What we do know to a large degree is that we have been lied to for a long time. Medicine is not what we think it is. We have our understanding how our body immune system works is not what we think it is. Understanding our connectivity to the world has been changed. Everything in the modern world has forced us away from the land and into cubicles in front of screens, absorbing electromagnetic frequency and radiation. And all of these things are away from the way we are designed to function. What's interesting is this piece right here. I want to play it for you, which is a concept of what we have inside of us, which is our magnetic fields and how they actually help us stay healthy. It ties, though this is a scientific presentation, this ties very much into the root of faith and being true within the body of Christ. Take a listen.
Aura around our body, and it protects us from disease. Every human body is surrounded by an energy field. These magnetic fields are something you don't pay much attention to, but the truth is that the entire survival of the individual depends on maintaining the integrity of this energy flow. Now, the moment we break the spiritual rules, we damage that magnetic flow. We have to observe the laws of nature, and if we don't, the magnetic field fails. It can be damaged by unbridled living. It can be destroyed by moods, attitudes, fear, complexes, alcohol, drugs, narcotics, all kinds of things. But if this field is damaged, it reacts immediately through the health of the individual. You must never allow yourself to develop attitudes that are incompatible with the integrity that nature has bestowed. Magnetic fields are absolutely honest. There is no way to make them dishonest. And if you respect your integrity, you will be full of energy, immune to infection, disease, and suffering.
I think what's fantastic about this whole piece is the idea that magnetic fields are absolutely truthful. And this principal area of everything we are, when we talk about walking within the body of Christ, it's us getting truthful and accountable, which means we can't lie within our world. We have to be honest both before God and within ourselves. And that ultimately leads to a stronger health, which I would completely agree. We live in a world right now that's heavy with deceit and heavy with lies. And this is a real problem in our time. One of the things we have is this poisonous rhetoric, the intolerance from others, and the violence, which just keeps pushing things over the edge. This is an interesting little piece here that was done by the Daily Signal, which is a podcast by Rob Bluey. And this was put out last week, and with national pollster Scott Rasmussen, who described what he called the most terrifying poll result I've ever seen. A recent Rasmussen poll asked Americans, quote, to suppose there was an election and it was close, but your candidate lost. And if their campaign team knew they could win by cheating and not get caught, would you want them to do so? Now, according to the Rasmussen poll, only 7% of American voters overall said they'd rather cheat to win. Okay, that sounds fairly positive and fairly safe, but this is the kicker. But among the group that he calls the elite, and these are the people that are educated, they have over $150,000 of income, they are people that are not only college, but postgraduate degrees. A large number of them went to one of 12 elite schools. These are the sorts of people that are in our government. This is what they said. That number, then when they were asked if they were willing to cheat, went up to 35%. And among the politically obsessed elite, those who talk politics daily, the idea of cheating went up to 69% as an acceptable way to get their candidate into office. That's our government. That's the world that we currently live in. And that's the challenges that we currently face in our nation. We talk about changing politics. One has to ask very clearly, are the people around President Trump any different than those that are circulating around the Democrat Party? And I would have to put a big question mark by that and wonder if that's true or not. This is a really difficult time in our nation. We start to have to face the deeper root of problems, which is ultimately moral bankruptcy and lack of accountability. And it's not going to get much easier as we go forward. There's just too many things that have happened that have made this nearly impossible for us to change things quickly without getting us back to our moral root. Take a listen to this piece about the reverse, what we would call now reverse racism, coming against white employees at Microsoft.
Microsoft is actively admitting to the public in their diversity and inclusion report that they are paying minority employees more than they are paying white employees. All racial and ethnic minority groups who are rewards eligible combined earn $1.007 total pay for every $1 earned by the U.S. rewards eligible white employees. They're going to discriminate actively against their white employees by paying them less, and they're admitting it straight to your face. Now, is this even legal? No, I don't know where within the Civil Rights Act it says you are allowed to do this with your employees. And people say that you are a crazy tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist for saying that the next line of discrimination is actively against white people. And I'm going to get called a bootlicker and a coon and an Uncle Tom for saying what is written very clearly for your own eyes to see.
This, by the way, was a black podcaster who said that. So obviously the awareness is there. And the rules that were put in place are now being manipulated and ignored because there were technically, quote, no protections against whites. What this is about really is about changing the power structure within our nation and breaking down labor costs, but also about creating obedient classes. What is coming is something very significant. We don't know exactly what it is. There's a variety of theories of what it might be. There are theories about this being a comet that's coming by. It could be a flyby or a movement near a planet that we, if you've heard this, a planet Nibiru. This could be just a cataclysmic event of the economy collapsing. This could be something as significant as a frequency change to where we're able to see more clearly with eyes that God gives us. There's a ton of theories out there about what's happening. And we don't really know what this is. There's so many theories out there that you'd really just have to lay them all out on the table and go, maybe. But here's what we do know. By the activities of those in power, we know that something very significant is coming. They're panicked. And the panic and the rush of doing things is what shows. They rushed the shot. And in the process, their idea of killing off humanity didn't go well. They have continued to try to crush down on censorship. Anytime a totalitarian state tries to increase their powers of censorship, including the TikTok ban that wasn't called the TikTok ban, which gave them unprecedented powers to shut down any sort of activity on any app, in addition to new laws that are going in place of states that are going to ban any form of speech against Israel, you're seeing the magnitude of fear. And the latest one are the red flag laws. What this is an attempt to backdoor gun confiscation in a huge level by leveraging red flag laws that just simply allows them to confiscate guns without any consequence.
They really, really just do not want to give up on this red flag law stuff.
And we begin with Vice President Kamala Harris's visit to Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School.
Kamala Harris speaking in the gym of Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School. Behind her there, you can see the family members of six people who were killed in this tragedy. They are holding photos of their family members.
The vice president expected to announce, quote, the launch of the first ever National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center to support the effective implementation of state red flag laws. A second announcement will be, quote, an official call to action for states across the nation to use the historic federal funding President Biden and Vice President Harris fought to enact. Those red flag laws allow firearms to be taken away from a person if they're deemed by a court to pose a threat to themselves or others. President Joe Biden has made clear he will make tackling gun violence a main issue in his campaign and has tapped the vice president to oversee the effort.
But the vice president, President Joe Biden, say it's just common sense, and that's what we heard her saying today.
You know, there are only about 21 states that have passed red flag laws. So part of why I'm here today is to challenge every state to pass a red flag law.
She is beyond irritating, and besides that, she basically slept her way up to the power of office, but that's another story altogether. The fact is that they have used red flag laws, and they've been putting red flag laws in place to be able to confiscate guns in a variety of ways. One of the first target groups are veterans, where they can literally use medical records of them and suggest that they're mentally unstable and then take away their guns and prevent them from having guns. This is a backdoor to gun confiscation, and to do so in a way that is going to be not aggressively in people's face and the public, because they continue to walk in the cloud of ignorance. They will actually go along with this to a large degree because they believe in the threat of the invisible threat in the invisible environment. Disappointing is when you see parents lined up like stooges behind Kamala Harris, showing the picture of their child that has been killed. I don't take away their pain, but the guns didn't kill their children. the society, and the children that pulled the trigger to kill their children. And when we get into the whole other issues that go along with these school shootings, whether it's MKUltra, whether it's the stacking of medical drugs that these kids are taking, whether it's the social life, the lack of parents at the home, broken families, lack of fathers, latchkey children, abuse in the home, we can go on a list of things. That's your root cause. But your root cause isn't the gun. But this is what they think. And they think that somehow this is going to prevent people from getting guns. Criminals don't register for guns, and criminals don't show up on background checks, and criminals don't show up on registration. Therefore, what you can be guaranteed is the only people that gain out of these rules are criminals, and the only ones that lose are those that are law-abiding citizens. This is the reality. And unfortunately, we're in a difficult moment right now of having to face a world which is under enormous amount of mental stress. And I mean this, it's an enormous amount of mental stress. And the mental stress creates literally psychotic behaviors. The public as a whole, since COVID-con began 4 years ago, has been put under a level of stress that is so extreme that many people have gone through a cognitive snap. They have literally lost their perspective on reality because their bodies could not endure the level of stress hormones that were running through their body. Stress hormones cause cancer. Stress hormones cause destruction of health overall. And the body has a function within it between the subconscious and the conscious that the subconscious will allow the body to believe into a false reality simply to protect the body's health so that it won't fail. Over time, that can be corrected. But we're seeing a large percentage of our population that's literally living in a dream. And in the dream, they are not able to see reality in any form. These sorts of things, then, when you start to say gun violence, and immediately they see the gun as the actuator of this, and they believe that this is the core problem. They're not able or willing to look at the root of it, which is always who's pulling the trigger and what's behind it. We used to have gun training in our schools. When I went to high school, I graduated in 83. So before that, and even in middle school and grade school, gun training was hunter safety was part of your growing up. You learned to use guns, you learned to hunt, you looked forward to it. It was part of growing up. We have turned that into a fringe element now for most cities and places, which as you watch gun activity in the nation decline or gun ownership and participation in the public space, you watch criminality increase. It's a correlation. And part of this is the criminals are allowed to operate more freely, especially when you start to have justice reform, judicial reform that includes letting criminals back on the street quickly without any sort of measures and to try to reduce the sentencing and the penalty for them in such a way that we now are cycling them through. And at this point in time, the importation of those across the border. But the point is that we start to look at all of these things going on in our world. We have a flood of immigration coming across our border. The politicians are saying nothing. They're giving lip service to having to tell you that, well, we aren't going to stand for any policy. This is the Republicans. We're only going to vote for something that ensures border security. Translated, that means we're not going to do anything about it because we know the Democrats won't either. This is the uniparty at its best. The Democrats obviously want to increase the flow of pedophiles. We're looking at a degradation of our military. We're watching elites somehow running completely out of control, running budgets off the rails. Nobody really cares what the people think in any sense. And there's no sense of accountability. The bigger question then is why? Is it that they're just a criminal class that want to take control, or is there something darker? When you overlay that with the censorship, the gun confiscations, the continued push for 15-minute cities, the idea of increased surveillance, the idea of creating social credit scores and digital IDs to consolidate all of your information, the push for artificial intelligence, the discussions of robotic police, and you're starting to see a motion towards a society that is totalitarian, and the question you have to ask is why? Why is because something bigger is coming. We have the false narrative of the environmental movement, which is that man is responsible for climate change, which we know is completely bunk. They have built entire education degrees out of this, entire sciences out of this that mean absolutely nothing. But again, why? And the why of this is that there are critical events coming on the horizon that will shake the world. One of those events, which I think is very, very important to comprehend, is what is the event of the red heifers. Now, this piece here is by, let me get to the right location here, is by Buddy Brown. If you don't know his channel, you should. Buddy Brown is a real strong voice in some of this stuff that goes on. And he's got a real good down home country voice in a lot of this. Now, I'm going to kick this off, and you might end up with a bit of a commercial right here in a little bit, which is okay if we do. But I want you to hear his point of the red heifer and his perspectives there. And keep in mind the magnitude of what this event is and how soon it's on the horizon. Here we go.
Top of the morning, y'all. Hope you're doing good. I want to tell you right now, this may be one of the most important videos that I've done all year long. We've all heard about the red heifer sacrifice. We've heard about the symbolism, and I have taken about 3 or 4 weeks to study this because this ain't something you just start talking about unless you know exactly what you're saying, unless you understand the historical background to it. And so I really hope this rocks you today like it did me. My insides were starting to shake yesterday just absorbing the reality of how serious this actually is. First off, I want to mention our sponsor, Allegiance Gold. We all want to be on the streets of gold someday. I always thought it was very important to take a percentage of my income and put it into gold because so many other countries are doing it and the dollar is absolutely tanking. There are qualified purchases right now that are getting $5,000 in free silver. So go to protectwithbuddy.com. I'll put the link below. All right, y'all. I've heard about the rebuilding of the Third Temple by the Jews all my life. What I never imagined is that it would not only happen in my lifetime, in your lifetime, but it was going to start in motion next month. That's right. On Passover 2024, the Jews plan on sacrificing the red heifer. We'll get into why in just a second. But first, a little disclaimer. Whether you're a Christian, a backslider, a seeker, this event right here, this sacrifice by the Jews on the Mount of Olives will affect you and everyone around us this year if they actually carry this out. I want to make sure it doesn't matter if you're into this prophecy stuff. It doesn't matter if you're watching March Madness and you're just hooked on that. It doesn't matter if you just caught up in politics. This red heifer thing will affect you and me and everyone around us this very year. So I want to get that out there. If the Jews are going to build this third temple, which is what they want to do that, they literally have to sacrifice a red heifer by order of the instructions in Exodus chapter 19 on the Mount of Olives, okay? They're doing this ceremony because all the tools they use to build the third temple have to be cleansed, and the only way they believe they can do that is to sacrifice a spotless, blemishless red heifer. There hasn't been a sacrifice on the Mount of Olives in 2,000 years. If y'all needed to understand how serious this whole thing is. Now that that's been said, this video is about to go in a totally different direction than anything you've seen. It pains my heart that when people talk about the red heifers, they don't mention the rest of it, the ramifications of what we're actually talking about here. So understand this, y'all. As much as this has to happen for Bible prophecy, this is a very, very bad thing they're doing because it's not only a declaration of World War III against the whole Muslim world, but it's going to eventually usher in Armageddon and then the Antichrist. Now, here's something y'all might know because I sure as heck didn't. When the terrible attacks on Israel hit October 7th last year, the Hamas spokesman justified it by saying it was in response to, ready for this, the presence of the red heifers being brought there in the first place, and Jewish prayer on top of the Temple Mount. So if the Jews actually do this sacrifice, the Muslims know the next step is to knock the Dome of the Rock Mosque off the top, which is going to spread into absolute pandemonium because biblically, that's where it has to sit. And it's not just a cow, and it don't matter if you believe it scripturally or not because the Jews believe it scripturally, and the Muslims believe it scripturally. They know exactly what this threat is. So it's not if, but when the Dome of the Rock gets touched, we could see the most incredible violence come over Israel that we've ever seen in our entire lifetime. And we're talking about the next 30 days. So consider this, y'all. If Hamas attacked Israel on October 7th and it was that bad over the mere presence of the red heifers being there, imagine what they would do if this sacrifice was actually carried out. Way worse than that, though. Imagine how much this enrages God because in an Old Testament sacrifice being carried out in 2024 when Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, John 18:36, Jesus said, My kingdom is not of this world. So why are they building a temple? Jesus is the new covenant with Israel. The sacrifice of a red heifer is no longer needed. It's no longer useful. And God does not accept payment of sacrifices of animals anymore. Jesus, the sinless Messiah, who was sacrificed and who's also been raised from the dead, he is the only sacrifice that God is willing to accept for payment of our sins at this point. Bottom line. So y'all can see the huge problem with the Jews' rejection of Jesus and sacrificing the red heifer as if to say Christ isn't enough. Now, I know there are Messianic Jews who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I feel like they're going to be the remnant in Israel. But for those Jews that reject the truth and they're trying so hard to rebuild this third temple because it's going to usher in their so-called Messiah, they'll get their Messiah all right, but it ain't going to be who they're looking for. Now, can y'all imagine God's perspective on this whole thing? I sent my only, one and only son to y'all. He was perfect. You killed him. It was right there in your country. You saw it with your own eyes. It happened right on your watch with your hands. This is over 2,000 years later. He was the perfect sacrifice, and y'all are still trying to sacrifice a cow in 2024? This is why I feel like it's going to bring wrath. While I was making this video, I thought maybe God looks at this whole thing like border agents look at intercepting 1,000 pounds of fentanyl at the border. It's poison, and the carriers of the drug are going to be punished. Now, for the drug dealer, well, the red heifers came from the state of Texas, which would make Texas the dealer. In my opinion, I was just thinking about it. It's going to be very, very interesting to watch and see how God deals with Texas, if at all. I don't know. I'll be doing part two on this video during or right after Passover, if we're still here by then, because there's going to be a lot to talk about. What a privilege to be alive right now. I really hope this video helps you out and shows you what you need to be prayerful and mindful of moving into the next 30 days. God bless y'all. Be good.
This is a powerful thing. And it's of all the things on the near horizon, we can talk about the eclipse, which I don't think is... The only thing I've heard about the eclipse is there may become some things visible in the sky that will make people uncomfortable. But the reality is that this slaughter and burning of this red heifer, of the red heifers, if it goes through, will be absolutely incendiary, because the process is then the declaration of war against the mosque. It's a declaration of war against the Muslim world. And the graphics of this will light every liberal and vegan, vegetarian PETA member in the world on fire. Because they have built this ramp where they're going to do the sacrifice in pure white, which looks like white marble, intentionally to highly emphasize and over-dramatize the flow of the blood of the calves. Plus, don't forget, they're going to burn it. They're going to burn the calves. And what are they going to do with that? They're then going to take the ashes of this, and they're going to mix it with the ashes that they have found or resurrected from someplace. From the Dead Sea Scroll digging, they found ashes that went back to the time of Jesus, of the last one, the last sacrifice. And so they're going to literally take those ashes and they're mix them with the new ashes, and they're going to dip the tools, I guess, and bless each other and take a bath in it so they can all be blessed. This thing's going to be incendiary. There's nothing kind to say about it. And so what you can expect as an event, if we're looking at events on the horizon, that is one big event. That's not really a black swan because it's known coming, but its consequence could be global. All my point is as we go along here, the elites are very aware, and those in power are very aware that there are massive issues at play. Besides the fact that they're trying to provoke war, they're trying to get humanity to stay in a constant state of war. The question you have to continue to ask is why? It's not as simple as saying, well, they just want to take power. But there's a number of things both on the terra, if you will, and there's a number of things in the spiritual that are coming together as a head that are literally they're trying to keep people's eyes off of, trying to keep them shocked because they know a significant event is about to arrive. And when that happens, we have to take a mindset and be in a mindset that's very different and be prepared. At the center of all of that, in the sense of this age of accountability, is there has to be a constant vigil of accountability within our own lives and to walk without fear. I can't stress that enough. Part of that is as we go through our lives and we're finding ourselves being tripped up by emotions of anger, emotions of hate, emotions of frustration, hurt, pain, all of those things, we have to go through, and I would just use these three pillars as a guide, is we have to rebuke and bind and get rid of any doubts that we have in our life that would limit our ability to see God in his fullness, have a relationship with God in his fullness, and to somehow allow Satan to get into our head to believe in one form or another that Satan is greater than God. This is part of the demonic fight on us right now. We have to get rid of shame. Shame is a massive area. We all carry this in one way or another, some much more than others, but this is the way we walk. And the problem in the world we have where everything is driven towards a perfection and an idea of achievement, where we're always being pitted against each other to gauge ourselves or against others that are untouchable, we end up with a level of shame, and that shame can come from inner woundings, spiritual woundings. We can come from things we've done in our life. Those things were all solved on the cross, but we have to embrace that fully with what Christ has told us so that we can get past those and be set free. And then we have the issue of fear. Fear is their number one engine that they use. And fear is a constant weapon that they're using in every single thing they do. It's incendiary, it's hateful, it's horrible. And the whole concept of fear is to keep us on a certain edge so that no matter what we do, we are forever in an imbalance and trying to keep ourselves, we are being repressed and separated from God because we are fearful of something to come. Whether that fear is the fear of our bills that we can't pay, the fear of a unknown element that's out of our control, who the next president's going to be, what's going to happen to our guns, what's going to happen to our property, the taxes, the threats by government, all of these things are fear. This is what I know. I know this only because I feel this more than I can say. This is my, when I say I know, it's what I just, in the spirit, I know this. As we stay tight within our relationship with God, true and honest in our heart, we're going to weather this just fine. But this is going to get pretty rough, and it's going to get bumpier as we go along. And unless we stay in that place, we are going to be easily dislodged from that walk of faith and trueness within God. That means you have to have an absolute purity in heart. So if when we are talking about situations we're in and we get, say, crushed in a moment where we're feeling the world coming at us, we have to be honest before the throne on what those issues are. We have to be transparent and stop trying to find always the outside vectors that are coming at us and instead take first and foremost the accountability in our hearts. This is part of the new age we're in, and it's separating ourselves from those that are out there. Let me give you an example. There's a YouTube channel I came across today. It's very interesting, and this is a small little issue, but it's a big indicator of what's out there. And I can give you other examples. But this YouTube channel was one that did outdoor survival up in Alaska. And as it went along, I noticed today that the title of the show, that I watched it on occasion, not very much, the title of the show is Everything Has Changed. So I tuned in, and I listened to what they had to say. And effectively, what the bottom line was is that they weren't going to be posting much more on YouTube anymore. And the reason was this. They just weren't making the money they had in the past. This is my point. It's right there as the core. If you were really cared about the message, if the message was important and the purpose you were doing was truly of God, money would never be an issue. Unfortunately, we are living in an age when we can see this in many of the different patriot rallies that go around the country, many of different motives, that money is the predominant motivator of what people do. They want to participate in something to push their brand. They're not willing to just do something because it's right. This is the problem that we're going to continue to have in this until, and this is the threshing that we're in right now, separating those truly with a true faith and love in God and getting us back to the root of where we need to be. And so what is that root? Ultimately, we know that as we deal with this corruption that's everywhere, and we deal with the collapse of things going on around us, we need to get back to the principal roots of what we are. Artificial intelligence is another big one on the horizon that they're using to try to control us. We have, as well with this, we have the financial collapse. And so let me just play this quick piece here on artificial intelligence as we talk about how they're building an architecture that we have to try to counter. So take a listen to this.
Is they had a camera looking at a space with people in it. That's sort of like coming in from one eye. The other eye is the radio signals, so sonar from the Wi-Fi router. And they just learned to predict, like, this is where the human beings are. Then they took away the camera. So all the AI had was the language of radio signals bouncing around a room. And This is what they're able to reconstruct. Real-time 3D pose estimation, right? So suddenly AI has turned every Wi-Fi router into a camera that can work in the dark, specially tuned for tracking living beings.
So far, if you're keeping track, you have AI that was telling people to bow down and worship it, or else it was going to be punished, right? Which echoes Revelation chapter 13 with the image of the beast, right? You also have people have been uploading people's memories and stuff on AI. So now it acts like them, talks like them, relives their memories, in essence, their consciousness, right? Then you have this where AI can basically turn Wi-Fi to look and spy through walls. You have chips going in hands and foreheads, which is laying the foundation for the future mark. The mark of the beast is not yet, but in the future, you guys keeping track. If there was any other time to get right with Jesus, it'll be now. Click my pinned video on.
And that's an absolute truth. The thing is, whether or not you are one that wants to believe that it's the Revelation period or this is some massive period within, we're not in Revelation yet, however that is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is that what we can see coming at us is a colossal tsunami of surveillance and monitoring and control. Again, what is this about? And we have to continue to go back to the fact that humanity is being pushed into a slave state rapidly and unfortunately successfully, because so much has been accomplished by humanity's willingness to comply and not challenge and defy them in the name of God. One of the key centers of this, we have this sacrifice of the heifers coming up. We have the development of AIs. There's discussion that part of the, quote, Antichrist is going to be the creation of this AI that's in Israel, in Jerusalem, in the new temple. That is one discussion. But we also have the new currency, and the new currency itself is a big issue. The new currency is about a process of total transparency with blockchain and ledger technology. Why this is a big deal is because blockchain will allow that every single transaction you ever do, it now becomes part of the public and permanent record. That means whether you purchased a snow cone at a fair, or whether you purchased a new car and purchased a house, whether you purchased some items for your children, all of those purchases will be tracked to your buying behavior in a very simple sense will be completely known. But a greater issue is all of that data allows for deep analysis of you and it allows them to decide whether you are a good person or a bad person. The key to this new system is, unlike our relationship in Christ and how we can prove that this is of a Luciferian origin, is that there is no such thing as forgiveness. Forgiveness is not here. In Christ, we are forgiven, accountable, but are forgiven. In the new order of things, you are not only accountable, but you are never forgiven. I want you to listen to this short piece on the idea of the dramatic change that's ahead for us. This comes from the World Economic Forum. It was a discussion about crypto, and this was a discussion back in the World Government Summit in March 2022 in Dubai by Philippa Pippi Malgren and a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, CFR, and Chathan and the Chathan House. So take a listen.
What underpins a world order is always the financial system. I was very privileged. My father was an advisor to Nixon when they came off the gold standard in 71, and so I was brought up with a kind of inside view of how very important the financial structure is to absolutely everything else. And what we're seeing in the world today, I think, is we are on the brink of a dramatic change where we are about to, and I'll say this boldly, we're about to abandon the traditional system of money and accounting and introduce a new one. And the new one, the new accounting, is what we call blockchain. It means digital. It means having a almost perfect record of every single transaction that happens in the economy, which will give us far greater clarity over what's going on. It also raises huge dangers in terms of the balance of power between states and citizens. In my opinion, we're going to need a digital constitution of human rights if we're going to have digital money. But also, this new money will be sovereign in nature. Most people think that digital money is crypto and private. But what I see are superpowers introducing digital currency. The Chinese were the first. The U.S. is on the brink, I think, of moving in the same direction. The Europeans have committed to that as well. And the question is, will that new system of digital money and digital accounting accommodate the competing needs of the citizens of all these locations so that every human being has a chance to have a better life. Because that's the only measure of whether a world order really serves.
Says the elite as they roll in new ways to enslave humanity, all in the name of goodness. One of the things that is happening, though, is there's a massive level of awakening, and that's what's so important about this time. The awakening is hitting across race and across class, and it's starting to bring people together so that we understand a common threat. These people, as you very well know, when I say these people, the elites have been busy building bunkers. Our government is busy building bunkers, in fact. We have networks of tunnel systems under the United States. China has tunnel systems throughout its entire country. And I guarantee you and I are not going to be invited to be part of this. They are anticipating a collapse on the surface world to such a degree that they're going to have to hide. And in doing so, what they're anticipating and likely seeing is that their ability to create race-baited divisional politics is starting to collapse. Take a listen to this piece here. That was on Lindell TV.
We can really stop it. And the bloodbath, really? I'm going to say one word, reparations.
Who ends up paying for it? Let me ask you, just as a community.
I can tell you that. I feel that the Democratic Party should pay reparations to blacks because it was in the 1800s when the Republicans, which was known as abolitionists, separated from the Dixiecrats because they did not want to continue slavery. So after the abolitionists helped black people become Republicans and they changed their name, black people were able to own businesses. They was able to create the Black Wall Street, Rosewood. They were the most wealthiest communities in the United States. And so it was the Democrat Party who created the Ku Klux Klan, and the Klan were the ones who hated the blacks for creating Black Wall Street, and that's why they dropped the bomb on Black Wall Street. It was the Klan that did that. 2 years later, in 1923, it was the Klan that destroyed Rosewood. So if anybody owes black people money and reparation, it should be the Democratic Party, the Ku Klux Klan, which they originated from, that Democrats should be paying the money to blacks for all that they've done with slavery, the destruction of the black economic engines like Black Wall Street. I feel the Democratic Party should pay reparations to black people.
I know you hate your grocery bill just as much as I hate my grocery bill. I know you hate paying high gas as much as I hate paying high gas. So we need to come together as one, white, black, gray, purple, orange. And for the illegals, it's proper channels to go through.
Yeah.
Like every other ethnicity, there you go. It's proper channels to go through. You shouldn't be able to come cross the border illegally and receive
you
help.
Illegally come in my back door, you're going to get shot.
You got
legally.
Plain and simple.
And illegally
right.
Coming into my country.
That's right.
So I understand where everyone is coming from with the illegals. It's proper ways to go through these channels to come into America and officially become an American.
Just make the playing field level. Mm-hmm. What are you afraid of?
Yeah.
Here in the black community, the kids are going to school. You go out into the white communities, the school, what they have in there, the computers and what they have in technology, we're so far behind. Mm-hmm. All this is by design. Because if you can't get out here in this world, they don't teach you how to be entrepreneurs. They don't teach you how to invest your money. We're not teaching anything like that.
And you get back to this, though. And it's been Democrat for 60 years.
Yes.
What the hell? Why does the black community keep voting for Democrats?
Because we've been brainwashed. When I was coming up in my household, it was a straight Democratic ticket.
Black people better understand this. If we don't stand together and we don't make a change, they've already brought the replacements in for us.
Yeah.
If we don't shut the borders in the black community and get all the illegals out of our community, there will be no more black.
The Uniparty had the Black Party as its whipping dog and its party that remained in, its people that remained in chains. Those chains have been broken. And as this movement has grown over the last 8 years now, the black communities are waking up to realize where the real bondage and slave masters were. That unity that starts to bring white to black together is one of the reasons that they've now pivoted and gone after white men to make them the toxic white male, the white supremacist, the Christian nationalist, etc., to try to continue to foster and foment this race-baiting hatred that goes across the lines. the crime rates are up, no doubt. Black on white crimes are up. But the black on black violence continues to be up. And of course, they want the white people to buy into the idea that somehow this is about the welfare state and they need more money for free. It was the welfare program that broke them, and it's the welfare program, which is another form of socialism, that has brought people to their knees. What's missing in all of this is the importance of family. We have the black population that constitutes 13% of the population in the United States. And yet, by statistics, 55% of the crimes are done by blacks. That isn't because they're defective. We have to look at how many families are without fathers. And I believe the number is upwards of 70% of black families are lacking a father. Father is a critical thing, the family unit. It's what they've tried to wage war against the white side of the community to try to get American whites to break their family. And they've been, to a certain degree, very successful, and hence the rise of the transgender, the gay movement, which all is about deconstructing the family and creating something new, unusual, and abomination in many ways. We have to get back to the principal values in our nation, and it centers on family. We also have to get back to the principles of how we used to live. That means raising our own food. That means putting Bible at the center of our home, daily readings, daily commitment to prayer and to reading in Scripture. It means truly this principle of the Bible as the center of everything in our home. And that's God's Word. We have to get back to homeschooling our kids. We've known these things, but it has to now raise up to being a community-level effort, that even at a community level, some with working issues the way they are, the burdens of having to work two jobs for many, we have to learn to pare down, live with less, and yet build community. The problem we have and the greatest weakness in our nation is we have become individual efforts and individual nuclear families, not working together as community. That's the weakness and the vulnerability that they continue to exploit. The more that we come together and start to combine our resources, try to support one another, help one another out, truly following the primary tenet of Christ, which is to love thy neighbor, we overcome their ills and their wills. And so really, where we face here is we are looking at the elite class, which is ironic because as they have all this power and authority, they're the ones building the bunkers. They're the ones preparing to run. They're the ones preparing to hide. And so what that's telling us is that they are the ones most in fear. And they are especially in fear right now as they prepare for this bug out to go wherever they're going to go for whatever event is coming and whatever that event looks like. They are convinced that if they were to tell us truly what they know, that they would lose power. Why would they lose power? Because our eyes would go towards planning and preparing for something coming, and we would cease to care about their authority. So the only way that they can maintain authority is to continue to pit us against each other and continue to use a divide and conquer strategy. And they have been very effective at it. Our biggest challenge now going forward in this age of accountability is to literally carry that razor edge of truth, to have a sword that's so polished and sharp that you are able to slice through and truly tell the truth, whether the truth is spoken against the pulpit, whether it's spoken against those in the pews, whether the truth is spoken in politics, no matter who's in power or who's ever running. We have to speak truth to power. And as we do, we have to elevate up the conscience of people and not simply walk blindly. We also have to be reasonable about what our expectations are for change in leadership. We have to quit looking at people as messiahs and quit looking at people as the lead element to change like we did and this movement did. I'm not going to put a we on it. This movement did to a large degree with Trump trying to put him on a pedestal of being a messiah. That is not what we do in a republic. It is not what we do as people under God. We have to start getting very clear on what our objectives are and what we're trying to do, which is we're trying to be part of a greater change in humanity, to continue to raise humanity up in the body of Christ and the love in Christ to free them, to set them free, to keep them free, and to help others become free. We are on a rescue mission. This has nothing to do with a political year. And the real change in our government is not going to come through politics. All you have to do is look around at the level of corruption and even the things I talked about tonight. When 69% of those in the ruling elite believe it's worth cheating, you understand the fabric of what's leading this country. Lies, deceit are the fabric of what's running this country. So we have to make a pivot and a change. We have to make a pivot and a change. And that change has to be one and where our emphasis is not about the gimmicks and the gadgets. We're not worried about whether there's a CBDC or not. We're not worried about whether there's XRP and some new digital ledger to change the world with the way money works. People believe this. They believe if we get rid of the fiat dollar, somehow that's going to change things. Well, if that's going to change things, then a simple answer is, are you going to change your buying behaviors? Are you going to start buying with more care and more long-term view of stewardship and conservation? Are you going to be purchasing in such a way that you'll never use debt again? Those are behaviors. Those aren't changed by a new system. And this is where people are getting confused. They're getting confused at understanding truly the nature of what it is to change and to be part of something so significant in our time that we are having to redefine how we live. And redefining how we live ultimately takes the form of us coming together as a nation, working together to overcome the impossible, living more simply, putting God at the center of all things, and stepping outside of the system. As we do that in mass, there's nothing the elites can do. Sure, they may threaten you. Sure, there may be some that get thrown in jail. Sure, there may be attempts to steal property. But when the neighborhoods start to come together and push back, you're now taking authority as was given to us by our Declaration of Independence, which is to reject these forms of despotism and overthrow them when they become despotic, to restore the rulership to and by and for the people. The age of accountability is a big step. It's a big step in humanity. It's a big step in the country. It's a big step for every single one of us because we don't get to slide off the docket anymore. We don't get to pass off our authority onto somebody we vote for and not have to worry about for the next 2 years or 4 years or 6 years. We have to be accountable in everything we do. We're engaged. We want to know. We have to ask questions. We have to do the difficult things. I'm one, and I've been open about this. I have waffled on Trump. I shouldn't say waffled, but I have gone from Trump being literally calling him out brutally on the vax to complimenting him on things that he does. And that will continue to be a duplicity that I will be on this channel because you can't deny good any more than you can ignore bad. But that is part of us being in a republic, and we have to balance the imperfect with what we're trying to achieve in the long-term goal of humanity. Trump is a very complex problem to look at and really to look at his trajectory and the things that he's done and to weigh him not as a messiah, not as somebody who's going to make the great change in America, but to ask a simple question. Do we want somebody in office that's going to be a compliant officer who's going to speak the same narrative and stupid promises? Or do you want somebody who's literally the guy that throws the hand grenade in the middle of your breakfast cereal every time he opens his mouth? I'll take that guy right now more than anything. Why? Because it's breaking narratives. It's breaking the discussions of a compliance and acceptance. And it's forcing everybody to start looking around and saying, okay, what are we going to do? Is he still accountable? 100%. Does anybody get to slide from accountability? No. But we have to do this across our spectrum. And to put our weight on the change of a single man is ridiculous. But we're in the year of bread and circuses. Politics and the rallies are all to take our mind off the bigger issues. What's at the core of us really working, functioning well right now? Community building. Resource building. That means growing your food. That means raising animals to make sure you have proteins. That means making sure you have water. It means making sure you have redundant systems and abilities to maintain these systems. These are the things that we're talking about. And when we get to that place and we're really starting to dig in, we start to realize how vulnerable we are and how significant we are. So let me just kind of wrap up with this message before I have one other message I want you to hear. Up on the property, this water up here is all run by wells. There is no city water. It's wells. The wells are electric driven. On a couple of occasions now, we have had the power go out in this region. When that happens and the power goes out, there is no water. None. We have water in tanks. We can manually haul that. But once those tanks were to run dry, especially with 32 head of cattle, and that can happen very quickly, unless you have electricity, there is no water. That leaves quite a problem. It leaves a problem that has to be addressed because if you're just expecting all things to be status quo, then you're going to be caught short and animals can die and people can have to abandon land. Those types of changes are significant. That means at some place you have to put in a hand pump well. At some point you have to have water storage just to make taking advantage of rainwater. It's collecting in massive reserves so that you can use gravity feed and not have to use any sort of electric pumps. It also means you need redundancies in your pumps. That's the sense of understanding how fragile our life is. We take our lives very much for granted. And in the cities, we seldom ever see a shortage of water in our cities. Unless the water's polluted, the systems work automatically. But what happens when the system starts to break down enough that the people no longer want to go to their jobs, but they want to start protecting their family? What happens when people die off because of the COVID con and they just can't fill those slots in those jobs? These are important issues. What happens if there is a sense of social disruption that breaks up the water supply? What happens if there is a meteor flyby, or if there's an EMP, or if there's a solar flash and these systems get fried? When we start to look at that, we start to get down to our home model. That goes back to our seven pillars of county by county. And what we begin to look at is we begin to look at where our vulnerabilities are, and we spend our time focusing on improving the vulnerabilities to close them off so that we can be more prepared. Preparations is an ongoing thing in life, especially with our interaction with a world in modern sense and trying to recraft the ancient skills. Living more simply, though, is the answer. And living more simply means that our overall burden on our costs each month decline. That's stewardship, and that's breaking from the Babylonian system. All of these things must be looked at right now in an urgent way, but not in a way that gets you stressed or overburdened, because ultimately the true answer of all things rests with God. And that's where we pivot from on all things, not the discussions of a political rally, not the fear porn that comes out of our media every single day, and even the fear porn of the end of world. What I will say is, in all the prayers I do, I have not had any sort of anxiety that what's coming is horrific. Rather, I do sense that there's going to be massive disruption. And I do feel that where we're headed is going to require us to be resourceful, to be skillful, knowledgeable, and to learn to overcome. And that's going to happen through our prayers and the hard work that we do in our hands. But we have to keep in mind that what we are witnessing on the political spectrum, in the news and in the media, is all designed to distract. I don't care who it is. It will take us all, in my estimation, no more than 48 hours to decide who you're going to vote for. All this rally is about lifting us up and making us feel good. And the question I ask all the time is, why, God, do we need this? When we have Jesus in our heart and we have you, why do we constantly need this bread and circuses event to make us feel that we can overcome the devil? And that's a question that I'm going to leave this with tonight, because I think that that is a question that if it's not answered, we're never going to get to the true change of what we need in America. I want to close with this piece here with Denzel Washington. I think it really frames everything well.
I'll say it again. Don't confuse movement with progress, because you can run in place and not get anything done. So are you moving forward, and who are you taking with you? And how you made things better by the God-given talent that you all have in whatever area it may be. To write it, to direct it, to produce it, to cut it, to shoot it. You have a gift. It's called a gift. You didn't earn it. You were born with a gift. Now you hone that gift. You develop that gift. You do everything you need to do to protect it. And then
you do everything you can to protect it. It's fantastic. Patriots, let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for the time we have this evening. We come together here in prayer and humble before the throne. And we just want to thank you. Thank you for being our Father. Thank you for the love that you extend. Thank you for the amazing, amazing days that we are part of and that we've been so blessed to be in this time and in this place. Father, we just pray against any fear, and we bind fear tonight, cast it out, and send it literally to the feet of Jesus. And with us, we're just raising up Bars Nation, and anyone for that matter that's listening, and anyone that can be touched by our prayers. We raise them up. Raise them up now to take the eyes away from the circus and put their eyes on the things that matter. To spend more time in the Word. To spend more time with hands in the earth. To put their hand to the plow. To literally lift up this time and this place, that we all become productive, engaged, and conscious of what we're doing to understand the importance and the urgency of the hour. We can't go any faster than we can go, but we also need to be steady in our hand as we listen to you and you guide us in each and every step. And in a time where there's obvious change, we also have to have the confidence and the trust and the faith, fearlessly, that we will walk with you and you will take care of us. And so we pray that as well upon the hearts of the many. May the heart of the warrior heart of Christ be awakened. And may this be the hour, above all, that people continue to turn their eyes deeper into Christ, eyes heavily on the cross, to remember what that sacrifice truly meant, that we were given everything that we needed for this world to do all that he did, and greater works than he. And whatever form that takes in each person's life, may that inspiration, may that anointing, may those tools that are needed be given and blessed. So, Father, we just ask for that clarity for each person, that discernment in each and every step, that confidence of knowing that each step that we place is of you, not of ourselves, not of our fears, not of our doubts, not of our shame. All of that we need to bind and release, and instead walk more deeply into you, to hear you and to remember that your promises are upheld, that what we've prayed for and what you've given to us will be delivered. We need the patience. We need the lack of anxiety, the lack of anticipation. Instead, we need the calm breath, the breath of Holy Spirit, and that breath of walking calmly within you and within the body of Christ. So guide us, Father, in this time. Bless us with that calmness that comes as an experienced warrior in the fight. Lift us up, that our hands become dirty, that our hands have calluses to show, that our feet and shoes tread on the earth, and may our souls shown wear. And may we continue to pursue that which is of you, to anchor ourselves more deeply into the earth and to raise ourselves up more mighty in the Spirit. We say these things and declare these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. So spend some time, get the hands dirty, dig in, enjoy this time that we have. It's amazing. It's an amazing time of a rescue mission. There's so much to come and so much that will come and so much will be called on each one of us, I have no doubt. And it's a wonderful time. And in fact, there is so much being called to us right now, each and every one of us. All we have to do is reach and listen and let God guide us. Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil, never relent, always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow night for the gospel of peace. Until then, or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh, I wanna feel something. Let me get back in my body.
amazing grace. I need you anyway.